Well, it certainly is good to be with you this morning. Good to see you again up here. We were driving up 81 this morning, and we did exactly what Brian said. Said, look, these leaves are changing. It's a beautiful scene coming up through. I invite you to 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to look at six verses this morning. 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like to read just the first six verses. The title of the message this morning is Test the Spirits. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Many times when we think about tests, we think of how someone gives you a written test and you are to answer the questions in that test to the best of your ability. And that's common in a school setting. When you reach the age of 16, you're interested in driving, you need to go to a certain facility and take a test. And there you have to answer a number of questions, but that is sitting at a computer. As we go through life, we often refer to temptations as tests. You might have had some temptations or tests this week. Choices or decisions that we have required to make. And if we pass these tests or fail in these tests, we determine if we are going to stay centered on the straight and narrow way that leads to life everlasting. This morning, we're going to look at testing the spirits. And what we're going to focus on is to see if this, what we are listening to, what we are hearing, comes from a well of truth, or if the speaker is taking his information from a swamp of deception. So we're looking at truth and error. As in most tests, especially in a school setting, and as well as taking a test for your learner's permit, you are given a book, and you study the book, and the book has the answers in. And then it comes time for the test, the book gets set aside, and you take your test. This morning, the Bible, the Word of God, has the answers. And we are faced with temptations, we're faced with tests that come our way. We have the answers. So this morning it's not going to be a written test. I'm not having those sheets to hand out, but it's going to be a test, based upon your knowledge of Scripture and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the answers are going to be in your heart and in your mind, answers that you have drawn from the Word of God. Test the spirits, separate right from wrong, because we're living in a land of many voices. And John starts out, beloved, writing to the believers, believe not every spirit. The term spirit, as used here, is not a reference to ghosts or demons or other creatures, but rather, and catch this because this is key as we go about this message, as what we're looking at here, it's a attitude or approach of a particular teacher. So John is not writing about ghosts and spirits and creatures of the such, but he's warning us this morning, beware of a particular attitude or approach of a certain speaker. So when we're talking about this test this morning, we're testing, and you're testing me this morning, if you could put it that way, to make sure I'm speaking truth. And if you hear something throughout the week, need to test that. Is this truth or is it not? In reality, truth only comes from the Holy Spirit. In reality, truth only comes from the Holy Spirit. And you could use that as one of your test point right there. Is this right? Everything else comes from evil. Truth comes from God. Evil spirits are the source of false teaching. And those who promote false teaching are influenced by darkness. So we could look at truth and error. We could look at right and wrong. We could look at light and darkness. Earlier on, a few chapters early in 1 John, he gives one of the reasons for writing this letter. He says, "These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you," 1 John 2:26. So to seduce is to deceive and to lead astray. Obviously, leading away from the truth. Now here, a few chapters later, John is calling us to be careful to who we listen to. And he is pointing his finger at the attitude or the approach of certain teachers, speakers, false teachers. So be careful and be aware of these false teachers. So the people of God, us this morning, first of all, I think we need to be aware of the presence of false teachers. John said, because many false prophets are going out into the world, referring to the word of God, they're out there. Brothers and sisters, be aware. Secondly, we need guidance in order to distinguish between the false and the true, genuine teachers. And there are both of them. We are faced with that. If John, back in his day, needed to pen these words, warning about false teachers back then, how much more urgent is it for us today? I think this is some verse we need to take to heart. 2 Timothy 3:13, here we have some writings from Paul. He tells us what's going to happen as we approach the end of the age of grace. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Paul's saying, brothers and sisters, this is what's going to happen. The evil men are going to wax worse and worse. And I see that happening already. The verse goes on, deceiving. So here we have it. We need to be careful. And also being deceived. So as we see here in 1 John 4:1, many false prophets are in the world. So let's just step back for a second and ask a question. What happens if I just do my best to avoid these people? You know, is it really necessary to put these speakers or these teachers to the test? Words of Jesus, Matthew 24:24, a verse that caught my attention years ago. This is words of Christ. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Okay, that ties in well with what we're looking at here this morning. Many false prophets are going out into the world. Okay, but Jesus takes it a step further and he tells us what's going to happen or what these teachers are going to do. Then they shall show great signs and wonders. Okay, now we need to be turned up our level of alert. You're going to have people out there professing to be right, and they're going to show great signs and wonders. And that's where the deception comes to play. Because people might say, well, if they weren't of God, they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. But Jesus wasn't done speaking. If you know the verse, you understand that. He says, insomuch, and this is a part that really makes my eyes bulge if I could. If it were possible, Jesus speaking again, I repeat, they shall deceive the very elect. Every time I look at that verse, I just step back and just think about that. And in your mind, you have men and women, godly men and women, and on fire for the Lord. But Jesus said, these false prophets are going to come in. And they're going to show some amazing things. And if it were possible, they're going to deceive the very elect. So the fact that false teachers are going to come is not the shocking part. We're told that's going to happen. And I think we can understand that they are going to have power to do amazing things. But what has always caught my attention, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I trust that is not going to be you, and it's not going to be myself. Because we need to know what we believe. And we need to, as John says here, and we're going to look at just shortly, we need to test these spirits or these teachers. Deception is going to become so hard to see according to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, that some of God's chosen people are going to fall for their traps. And that's what's alarming. The question I ask, are we able to stand for the truth? Does John have a legitimate concern for writing this letter? He certainly does. We need to be filled with the knowledge of God so that we can discern right from wrong. And that comes by listening to the messages that are being taught and studying in your Sunday school lessons, but also it also comes back to your personal time in the Word of God as you read and study and meditate and ponder the Word of God. Is this right? Is this wrong? And as you hear things, you should be able to tell right away, that's not good, that's not good, that's true, that's false. Just by digging in to the Word of God, we can read in Peter, it's not the will of God that any one of his children should fall into this deceptive trap. But we have a responsibility. Test the teachers to see if they are from God. They need to be full of truth without corruption. Three tests this morning. Number one, taken from verses 2 and 3, the confession of a divine Lord. Are they confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? To the child of God, we're not to be like a sponge and soak up everything we hear. Need to be on guard, listen carefully, and apply the truth to prove genuine identity. Why? I don't think we can overemphasize the fact that false teachers are around today. So this is a lesson for myself, for each one of us. And so often, the dangerous teachers, maybe all the time, are the ones that line up with the Word of God, let's just say about 85%. So 85% of what they say is true gospel truth. We're like, well, that's all good. They agree with what I agree. But what we have to be careful with is the other 15%. Are they lining up? And if they don't, that's where we need to be on guard. So we could also ask the question, is it possible? In the midst of the maze of religious teaching that we have, is it possible to know the difference between truth and error? Can we really sort out what comes from God and what comes from darkness? And the answer is an absolute yes. Look at beginning of verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. We can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, or remember the attitude, approach of a particular teacher who openly confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And as we're going to see here, this first test, what is their approach or their feelings or where they place Jesus Christ? The message of Christianity is centered around the person of Jesus Christ. We cannot take away the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Anyone who undermines the full deity and total humanity of Jesus Christ is an imposter and a false teacher. So, his full deity and total humanity, including his miraculous conception, his atonement, his bodily resurrection, and the fact that he's going to return again. If anybody undermines that or tries to disclaim that, we need to be careful. We're looking at a false teacher. False teachers can be exposed by comparing their lives and what they say, especially about Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. What they say, does it line up with the Word of God? False teachers today do not believe that the Jesus Christ, who we read about here in the Gospels, who lived and walked on this earth, but they don't believe that he was the divine Christ. They deny his deity. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul speaks about those who preach another Jesus. And real quickly, They speak of Jesus who was the Son of Man, but not necessarily the Son of God. They speak of Jesus who was crucified, but not necessarily raised from the dead. They speak of a Jesus who was born of David's royal line, but not necessarily the King of Glory. What are they doing? They're watering down the facts about Jesus Christ. And this is where their clever deception comes into play. By saying, yes, Jesus was a remarkable youth. He was a great teacher. He was a promoter of wonderful ideas. But he did not come down from God in human flesh. They're preaching something that is not the truth. My mind went back to some of the shops in Grenada. You'd walk in, and they were selling counterfeit or knockoff items. For example, clothing that had Nike or Adidas emblems on. But you could tell clearly, without even holding them up and examining them, they were not name brand products. They were taking whatever and putting these emblems on. And down there, they were getting by with it. Appeared to be the real deal, but were fake. So these false teachers, they had the correct symbol, if you can, back to this knockoff clothing, but it's not based upon the truth. Rather, they're trying to make their believers believe some man-made theology. And that's where their false teaching comes in place. For us this morning, do we know the Master so clearly? And are we as sharp as a pin that we can be able to pick out just a small lie about Him? And I trust that we can. You might hear someone say, well, Jesus this or Jesus that. And you can say, no, that doesn't line up with my Bible, with our Bible, with the Bible. Do we know our Master that clearly? 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And I trust that's where we are at this morning. We know who we believe, and we're confident in His power and divine ability. So the first simple rule which we can discriminate between true and false is to ask the question, what place does this teacher give the person of Jesus Christ? Where do they place Jesus Christ? We sing the song, we place you in the highest place. Does the speaker you are testing place Jesus on the highest place in his or her life? Truly, above all else, followed by worshiping at his feet. And if the answer is yes, then he truly is a child of God. A true teacher is a person who believes the human Jesus and the divine Christ are the same person. Jesus Christ come in the flesh and the divine Christ are the same persons. There are teachers, the false teachers, who denied the incarnation were some of the church's very first heretics. They denied his incarnation. And he goes on here in verse 3, the spirit of Antichrist was alive in them and is alive in the world today. Any view, any idea, or any thought that attacks the humanity of Jesus and his deity is a work of the Antichrist. Brothers and sisters, when it comes down to John saying, believe in every spirit, but try, or we can put the word in, test them, see whether they are of God or not. What is their belief on Jesus Christ? Do they believe Christ for who he truly is? 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. And there you have it. The Christian religion is grounded in the actual historic event that the crowning act of God in redeeming mankind. God became man. And one of the basic tests of any religious system is a teaching concept of Jesus Christ. Do they believe in the true Jesus Christ? And you go back to the doctrine of the incarnation of Christ, it's of utmost importance. Why? Because if Jesus is not God come in the flesh, then Christianity will be like all other religions where man is trying to approach God on their own strength and obviously miserably failing. But not so with the gospel message. The gospel message helps us understand how God moved towards man in that God himself became man so that we as humans could know him and respond to his love. So you look at your word in your Bible and you take the birth of Christ. Let's just take your Bible and take the birth of Christ out of the Word of God. And what do you have left? Now, I narrowed it down just to two very simple things. Animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. That puts us back there in a time of sacrifice. But we're not going to take the birth of Christ out of the Word of God. And we'll stand upon His promises that we find in His Word. Test number one, do they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Test number two, taken from verse 4. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice in your Bibles as I read those verses earlier how John switches back and forth between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Verse 1, we're looking at the spirit of error. Verse 2, the spirit of truth. We know the truth. Verse 3, the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 4, you are of God. Truth. Verse 5, the word of the world, which is error. And then verse 6, we are of God. We have come back here to some truth again. Verse 4 is loaded with some beautiful facts. Number 1, verse 4, you are of God. Speaking to the believers, the one with God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are part of His family. You have embraced His truth and you are filled with His divine spirit. When a person meets the conditions of salvation and is born from above, the Holy Spirit actually comes into the heart of the newly born child of God and lives within. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is living within. Verse 4, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, speaking of the false teachers. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And speaking clearly of the Holy Spirit. A beautiful picture. He goes on, you have overcome them. You are an overcomer. You have overcome the assaults of these lethal false teachers. Because the Spirit of God, which is in you, had taken upon Himself to be your safeguard. He is greater and more powerful than that wicked spirit, which is set to do nothing more than damage to the church of God. So the battle against apostasy is spiritual. It's not a matter of opposing people. It's a matter of opposing wicked spirits. There's no human being can know the thoughts of God unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to him. So if someone's speaking, that doesn't line up. Well, the Holy Spirit's not revealed that to him. Distinguishing between truth and error does not come from human intellectual ability. We cannot say, well, I got it all figured out. No, it comes from the Spirit's ministry within our hearts and by maintaining a close relationship with the Lord. The overcomers that John is referring to in verse 4 is those who are filled with the Spirit of God. Greater is He that is in you, the divine Spirit, greater than that power of darkness that we're talking about. So the Holy Spirit provides mutual attraction to the things that are true. Okay, just back up. The Spirit's living within us, and He is also providing mutual attraction to the things that are true, and the things that are false are repulsive to us. So we are basically, we can look at it this way, we're attracted to the things, to the truth, and we're repulsive to false doctrine. A few months ago, where I worked, they had a bunch of scrap steel on a trailer. And I took it to the scrap yard. And this scrap yard, first time I've been there, okay, you pull in the scale. Then they said, okay, pull out back. And I pulled out back and I unstrapped. And here this huge machine with this massive magnet comes over my the trailer and comes down. And he turns on his magnet and picks up most of the steel in the trailer. Goes over the scrap pile, turns off the magnet, pow. And comes back and unloads my trailer. I just stood there and watched. He unloaded it. All this steel. If I would have had an old tire on the trailer, it would not have attracted to the magnet. And the illustration is true in a spiritual sense. Contact with error will be repulsive, while contact with the truth will be responsive to the person who is yielded to the Spirit of God. When truth is heard, it will connect with the Holy Spirit. We'll be attracted to the message we are listening to. However, when error is spoke, there will be no attraction there, and we will be aware of falsehood. Why? How can we know that? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within. There's nothing in an old tire that's going to attract to that magnet. There's nothing within us that's going to attract to false teaching. Harold Martin, I quote, I've heard people say, after hearing certain teachings promoted on the radio or spoken from the pulpit or something, reading something in a book, they said there was just something about that did not seem right to me. What is it? He goes on, they were not always able to give clear theological explanation what was wrong, but were able to sense that something was not sound. Brothers and sisters, that's the Spirit of God making them sensitive to false and counterfeit statements. That's the Spirit of God that we have living within that said, brother and sister, that is not true statement. That is counterfeit, and we shy away from that. A child of God is sensitive and aware of false theology. So you listen to what's being said, then you apply these two tests, the confession of Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And if the speaker fails in any one of these two tests, there's a 99% possibility that what you're listening to is not the truth. You got to make sure you drink in, you take in, you retain sound doctrine, but you have to get rid of false doctrine and not allow that to come in. Does the teaching that is in question attract, is the test, the question we ask for the second test, does the teaching that is in question attract to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? And brothers and sisters, if you have that Spirit living within you, you will easily be able to tell that lines up with the Word of God, and that does not. And we take in what does, and we discard what does not. The third test is the authority of the Word of God, verses 5 and 6. They are of the world, therefore speak the other world, and the world heareth them. And then he switches back in verse 6, as I said earlier. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Excuse me. In these two verses, John narrows it down to the contrast between those who are of the world and those who are of God. Verse 5, obviously referring to the false teachers. Their principles, their zeal, and their goals originate from the world where Satan rules as the prince. Their teachings and their opinions and their values are anti-Christian. John 8:44, Jesus speaking to those who were opposing him, he said, "You are of the father of the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh on his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we have that verse there, and the verse here in verse 5. The people are clearly under the authority of, or the control of, the devil. And Jesus calls the devil their father. Why? That's the one that they listen to. That's who they follow and obey. The originator of lies. They are of the world, influenced by the world. Works of darkness. And he goes on to say, those associated with them hear their message, because they are attracted to the corrupt message of deception. Obviously the spirit of error. Moving on to a brighter side of things, verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And God has commissioned those who are filled with Him to teach truth. Those who love God are eager to teach truth. And they get their final authority and teaching from the writers of Scripture, from the Word of God, based on the truth of God's Word. You see the contrast between verses 5 and 6. What men say and what God says. The teachers who belong to God are trustworthy promoters of the truth and the absolute truth. And they will identify themselves clearly and by carefully following and studying the Word of God. So we started out by looking at the attitude or the approach of particular teachers. Now here for this test, John calls our attention to the teacher's attitude of the Bible. Does the teacher in question take the Word of God seriously and believe the Bible is the final authority? And here's another big key when you're talking to someone or when someone's talking to you. Well, how do they view the Word of God? Do they believe that the Bible is trustworthy, and do they strive to obey and abide by its teachings? Are they clinging to the Word of God? Or, you can quickly pick this out, do they try to detour around certain teachings? Do they take certain chapters and just kind of remove them and go in and promote the rest? Or do what they're saying line up with the Word of God? We need to be careful who we are listening to. And not necessarily with it. I'm not preaching that we need to be people with a critical spirit. However, I will say we need to diligently compare content with the Word of God. Does it line up with the Word of God? And if not in accordance with the Bible, it must be rejected. Do not be deceived. So the three tests are the confession of the divine Lord, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of God's Word. The teaching is true if the teacher exalts Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The teaching is true if the teacher recognizes his virgin birth, taken in human flesh, he was sinlessly perfect, And he's returning again to take his church home someday soon. Then you know you're on the right track. The teaching is trustworthy if the message strikes that note of harmony with the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. And the presentation is accepted if the teaching corresponds to the clear message of the Scripture. And you notice right there within what I said the last 35 seconds, there's no room for darkness, no room for error. Clear, with all darkness removed, no corruption, and speaking the truth. So if those three tests are clear and obvious, then we can be sure the teacher is sent from God and his teachings are in harmony with the truth. There was a man in our house, could be a year ago, and him and I were sitting in a chair talking, and he started telling me about this book he's reading, and on about this book and this great author. And when I could finally get a word in edgewise, I said, you know, you should set these books aside and read the Word of God, because this is where the truth is. And he was really basing his what he was believing on this book. And he didn't appreciate the fact that I was discrediting his author. And he kept on trying to steer the conversation back to this book. And this man knew his Bible. But he was adding man's theology, man's thinking into his theology. And long story short, I politely ended the conversation and it was over. But he was adding a dangerous ingredient to the Word of God. He was saying, yes, but. When you say yes to the Holy Spirit, you don't say but. You don't say, okay, here's the Word of God. I'm going to go over here and take some of this and add this in. No, this is the final authority. We need to stand upon that. We need to ask God for the gift which enables us to discern between truth and error. Maybe we can echo Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings 3:9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. And we know that how the Lord blessed Solomon after he asked that. I'd like to quote from Simon Kissmaker. Without exception, liberal theologians refuse to accept the biblical doctrine that Jesus Christ has been, is now, and will be the Son of God, that he came from heaven to redeem his people, and he took upon himself our humanity, yet remained truly divine, that he rose bodily from the dead and ascended into his glorified body to heaven, that he will return at God's appointed day in the same body which he ascended. If you compare the teaching of these liberal theologians with God's word, you will notice their opinions are based upon human philosophy and not on the Scripture. And there is where the danger lies. When man says, I believe this because this is how I feel, and they're setting aside the true word of God, that is where deception comes in. He goes on, ask them what they think of Christ, then go to your Bible and study the Scriptures. And he lists here Matthew 16:15. And Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? End quote. It comes down to that. What do I believe about Jesus Christ? Do I believe Christmas Day he came in that manger? Yes, I do. Do I believe that according to the Word of God that for 3 years he walked and talked on this earth, walked the streets with sandals? Yes, I believe that. Do I believe Peter denied him? I do. Do I believe that he was killed? They crucified him? Yes. Do I believe he was placed in that grave and a stone rolled across it? Absolutely. And do I believe he rose again? Amen. Do I believe he's coming back again soon? Absolutely. And that could be this afternoon. John's telling us there are spirits abroad in this world. They are seeking our allegiance. If we are poorly instructed in God's word, we could be easily tricked into believing some clever false teacher. But here John is offering some valuable advice. Do not believe every spirit, but test them to see whether they are of God. I close. Test the spirits. Separate right from wrong, light from darkness, because we are living in a land of many of voices. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. Just say thank you for the truth and the absolute truth and authority we can find in the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we could not be those who add or take away from your truth and from the Word, but we could stand upon the Holy Scriptures, recognizing them
as being absolute. Lord, help us to study them, become aware of what is in your word, and also just to take our personal time, our devotions with you, and to grow more in our knowledge of you and our relationship with you, God, so that when we are faced with tests and temptations and false theology, we can say, yes, that's, or false theology, we can say, no, that is incorrect. And when the truth is taught, we can, that can connect with our inner spirit, and we can say, yes, that is from God. Lord, in Matthew 24:24, you said that some are going to be deceived in the later days. And I trust, Lord, that is not anyone here this morning. But I pray, Lord, that we can know the authority of your word and stand upon your promises and boldly proclaim your truth and cling to the word of God. Give us wisdom and discernment to know how to decide between right and wrong. And may we look forward to the day when we enter your throne. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.